Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, God cares for our bodies. God cares that we have what we need for our physical lives. And He cares that we have things that are pleasant, like good food, good clothes, comfortable beds, and things like these. It is even safe to say that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to earth to show us exactly this point. You know, after all, the story of Jesus feeding the crowd of 4,000 and 5,000 people. Jesus showed that He cared about those who listened to Him so long that they couldn't make time to go home and eat. And so right then and there, He provided for their physical needs, even as He provided for their spiritual needs. As we pray the petition for our daily bread, we should keep this in mind. God cares a lot about your food. He cares that you have a way to receive what you need for today. Again, Jesus tells us that God cares about this for all His creatures, and Jesus raises the example of the flowers of the field and of the sparrows in the sky. And then He says, "But we are of much more value than they are." Think it through. God has moved nations to give food. You think of Joseph being placed as second in command over Egypt in order to feed God's people. When Israel was taken out of Egypt, God opened the storehouses of heaven to give His people food. And they received manna and quail. See, we have every reason to approach God with gratitude, trust, and contentment. It is all there in His Word. After all, the author of Hebrews says, "Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" So I bring you God's Word under the theme, "Christ teaches us to ask for bread, the first of our daily needs." And we'll look at three parts. First of all, to do this with gratitude, and then with trust, and finally with contentment. Once again, Christ teaches us to ask for bread, the first of our daily needs. And we begin with gratitude. You see, it's tempting to think of food as something that is too boring or too mundane for prayer. And that's particularly true if you don't like your food. But really, do we not often think of food as something merely useful, no more noteworthy than taking another breath? That's just the thing, though. Jesus teaches us to pray for bread as the first of our daily needs because we are asking God to sustain our lives. Far from being too boring for prayer, food must be requested from the hand of God because to do so acknowledges Him as the one who sustains our lives. But by nature, we don't want to recognize that fact. And without prayer, even God's people forget about this most basic truth. If you think about it, you'll remember just how often God dealt with an ungrateful people. We already mentioned the quail and the manna in the desert. And that indeed does prove that God provides for His people with His almighty power. But we know that part of that account was a serious lack of gratitude on the part of God's people. It kind of sours the whole story. And so Jesus teaches us never to forget about the connection between God and our daily needs. Every day when we make this petition, whether it's exactly in the form that Jesus taught or otherwise, our hearts are being attuned to thankfulness and to gratitude. He shows to us that gratitude is essential to our spiritual lives. And that is the character of the give in this petition, where we say, "Give us this day our daily bread." It is a gift that counts on being grateful for whatever the Lord is willing to provide. See, far from being a demand, the word give is loaded with a confession of dependence on God, the only fountain of all good. One theologian described it like this. He said, God is not honored by demands, but he is honored by dependence. God is not honored by demands, but he is honored by dependence. It is this dependence that gives urgency to the petition, that gives it force. Give to us our food, Lord, for if you did not watch over us daily and hour by hour, we would surely die. Now, there are three questions in this sermon to consider, one for each point. They help us to search our hearts for our weaknesses. Consider then the following question. Do I have my heart set on something so badly that if I get it, it will replace God and make me forget him? Do I have my heart set on something so badly that if I got it, it would replace God and make me forget him? Another way to ask the question is, do I really believe that if I get whatever it is my heart is set on, that I will finally be happy? See, if our happiness rests on material things and not in the God who created those material things and gives them as gifts to us, then our hearts are not right in this matter. You can see then what a difference it makes to remember to be grateful. For this very thing can be seen in Boaz's field. Why do you suppose Boaz's workers are so happy with their boss, despite the famine they had just suffered? Why do you think things are well in the field of Boaz, but not in other fields? After all, Naomi warned Ruth not to go to other fields lest she be assaulted. And Boaz also told her, stay in this field. Why do you think things are well in Boaz's field, but not others? Isn't it because Boaz and his workers acknowledged the Lord as a matter of daily, regular course? Verse 4 tells us that when he came in the field, he called out, "The Lord be with you," and they would answer, "The Lord bless you." You see that it went well for those who do their daily work in light of God's care for them. So that, come famine or come abundance, there is a spirit of gratitude and of provision for others. After all, there are not many people who would be quick to allow the poor to glean on his field during the first harvest after a famine. They would rather keep the food for themselves. But Boaz and his workers made room for Ruth and others who were gleaning because they knew that food comes from the Lord's hand. Of course, this does not mean that the petition for bread removes the need for hard work. This can be seen as well in the person of Ruth who goes to do the hard work of gleaning. Now, you may or may not be aware of this, but gleaning is really hard work. And it provides a relatively poor return for what is very hard work. Nevertheless, Ruth does not turn this provision of the Lord away, and she goes to work at what she can. On the other hand, you have Naomi's bitter attitude towards God, which achieved nothing at all for the two of them. There's a good lesson in there for us. For grateful prayer, combined with hard work, is what God calls us to do. He provides for us through these means. We should be happy then to go to work and to work hard, even if there are times when the wage is not as good as we would like it to be. You see that praying for daily bread changes our hearts to acknowledge God with gratitude and work hard at our daily callings. Even though we in Canada may be distant from farms and famine, though not all of us are so distant from food supply, the petition still applies, for it encompasses all our work together with all our basic needs, clothing and shelter, food and drink, and so on. And if we should find ourselves praying this petition while our cupboards are stocked and our fridge is full, and our bank accounts have a buffer in them, then do not forget to give thanks to the God who has shown you his loving care. He does at times give to us enough that we can store some away, and it is both godly and wise for us to do so. Even the ants, little insects, are wise enough to save. Proverbs says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest." But remember that even in this, God is daily involved in maintaining what has been stored up. We may never look to our abundance as our security, and so forget that we will depend on God when the sun rises in the morning again, and that we will still depend on him when the sun sets at night. All the savings in the world do not change the fact that you can only eat food for one day at a time, and that you depend on the Lord that food should be there for you. So remember to be grateful, beloved. There is a tight connection between your material needs and your worship. Indeed, this is how God chose to turn the heart of Naomi back towards him. For after being supplied with food, she again acknowledges her God when she says, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." God and your bread, far from being unsuitable for each other in prayer, are rather to be spoken of in the same breath. And this brings us to our second point, trust. Continuing on the topic of things that make us feel secure, we come to the matter of trust. Now, the order of the Lord's Prayer is so important for us to recognize and to understand, and that importance comes to the fore in this petition as we move from petitions about God's glory and his name to our needs. For although this petition is the first of our daily needs, it is not the first petition of our prayer. God is the first, his name and his kingdom and his will. And this petition reminds us, it teaches us who is who in this covenant relationship that we have. For daily we need help from the God who needs nothing. Acts 17, verse 24 and 25 reads, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." Again, God says in Psalm 50, verse 12, "If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine." Remember, who is who? Even those with money in the bank, or with the equity of a house, or perhaps more than one house that has been built up, or other assets and things like these, must remember who is who. For at a moment's notice, we could be put to the test and lose all that belongs to us. So remember, you are the ones with your daily needs. God is the one who needs nothing from us. Indeed, in that one word, daily, much is expressed, particularly in the way of trust. The daily dependence on God and seeking good from him answers many of our anxieties. It begins with the very fact that God taught us to seek God's blessing every day. We therefore know, because Christ taught it, that God is both willing and able to grant that blessing so that all our cares and labors and the gifts that God has given do indeed bring us good. But when we ask, we must remember that we are not asking him to provide for the next 1,000 days. We are merely asking him for this day and daily to be our help and our strength. One commentator writing about the Lord's Prayer asked a pointed question. He asked, "Which is better, do you think, to have food stored up for 1,000 days or to have your faithful God bring you food every new day again? Which is better? Which do you want? 1,000 days of food, or a God who brings you food every new day again? The point is that with our food being a daily matter between us and God, it builds a relationship of trust and confidence in Him. And that leads us to be able to say more about the word daily. For if Christ teaches us that it is better to seek this daily relationship building with God through our physical needs, then it follows that God does not give you more than can be handled in a single day. God doesn't give us more than we can handle in a single day. Now perhaps you say, hold on just a minute. In this congregation, even this week, there are funerals to prepare for. There are weddings to be done. And school is a year-long project that occurs every year, as is our children's catechism homework. And of course, I've got to take care of house and home, and my husband's got to go to work, and so on and so on. Understood. The fact remains that God only gives you so much energy and time in a day. There is only so much your body can accomplish, even on 8 hours of sleep and a healthy diet and good discipline. We sing often enough hymn 65, verse 3, to recognize the line when we sing, "Be still, what God in His good pleasure to you in wisdom may impart is given you in perfect measure." That is to say, He gives you enough daily for each day, but not more. There may be busy times, but the fact remains that God requires day by day only what you can accomplish day by day, and He provides for you in accordance with that. Let me put it to you in another way. If God were worried about how much we could accomplish every day, would He give us a whole day to rest every week? If God were worried about how much we could accomplish, would He give us a day of rest as He has today? You see that God does not look at things the way that we do. He is not worried about what you or I can accomplish each day, for it is Him and His blessing that do the accomplishing. He merely calls you to daily prayer and diligence. And it requires trust, then, to accept what God is willing to grant, both in terms of provision and accomplishment, in a single day. So here's the second important question that I hinted at earlier, the question for the second point, to search our hearts is this. What do I desire so much that I'll sin to get it? What do I desire so much that I'll sin to get it? Is there something that I want with such intensity that I am willing to break or exceed the boundaries of God's daily provision and requirements for each day? Obviously, there are things we could be desiring which are material, an expensive computer perhaps, that threatens your ability to pay your bills, a large vacation when savings would be better. But it could also be that we are so focused on one part of our lives that it comes at the expense of another, when both are important. A man may be so focused on his work that he forgets about his wife. A man may be so focused on his work as an office bearer that he forgets about his own children. Of course, this happens when we start to exceed the time and the energy that God has allotted for certain tasks and callings. But God says that He provides us with enough time and with enough energy daily to do our work. We may not be so happy with those limits, but God never forgets who is who. He remembers with compassion that He is the limitless, almighty God, and that we are His creatures, and we are only dust. Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." We must trust that what God provides daily is truly sufficient for us, And this too can be seen from Ruth 2, which we read. For in just the same way that God moved Joseph to be the second in command over Egypt, and just as God with mighty power opened the heavens to give manna to his people, so also we read that Ruth just so happened on Boaz's field to do her daily work. Ultimately, what had happened is that she came under the Lord's wing there to do the hard work of gleaning day after day and so be fed. Indeed, none of this was by accident. None of it was by chance. She didn't, after all, just so happen on the field of Boaz, but it was by the hand of God. Says the psalmist of Psalm 36, "How precious is your steadfast love, O God! The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." Indeed, God has become our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ so that we may receive such great blessings from him every day. And so we come to our third point, contentment. The wording of this petition is undeniably sober. It's just a few short words, 7 in our language, I believe, 8 in the Greek language, which Jesus spoke. By comparison, debates about economic policy, books and lectures written on the topic, podcasts and reels all center around the core issue of daily bread. The amount of material that mankind has produced on the topic dwarfs the few words of this petition. And yet our Lord teaches more with these words than anyone ever has on the subject. For bread is about as plain of a thing that you can imagine. We're not taught to pray even for steak and potatoes, but bread. White bread or brown bread, Wonder Bread, non bread, sourdough bread, call it what you want. Nothing is quite as simple as bread. And such simplicity, it reins in our desires for luxuries. It's just plain old bread. Thus, Paul says to Timothy, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content." And Paul there uses the word for bread, for food. If we simply have enough to sustain us with this, we should be content. But this kind of contentment is only possible if we remember that God is watching over us. Indeed, it is a very difficult thing to achieve because there is always more, isn't there? One of the reasons advertisements work in our hearts is the desire for more. We have it. One of the things you have to watch out for when you're online, too, social media, video games with others, is the instinct to compare and so desire what other people have that you don't. So much of our culture is driven by this desire, and let's call it what it is. It is envy, one of the works of the flesh given in Galatians 5, verse 21. Envy strikes when someone passes you in a nicer truck than you have. Maybe it's bigger. Maybe it's got those mirrors that are great for when you're towing a trailer. Be really helpful for you. Maybe the trailer he's towing is bigger than yours. Whatever the case might be, there's more. You can always find something more. Seldom do we reflect on what we could stand to lose. But we must, for our life does not consist in stuff. The substance of our life is in Christ, in heaven, with God. Which brings us to the third heart-searching question, the one for this point, which is as follows. What do I currently have that I depend on so much that I will sin if I lose it? What do I currently have that I depend on so much that I will sin if I lose it? Might it be your dream job that you just knew you were going to have since you were in high school? Might it be a house in the country with an acreage? Or are you afraid of falling behind so that we can no longer keep up with the Joneses? See, there's much that we can have without any wrong, but if it's going to make you sin, should the Lord decide to take it away? That is an issue. Think about Elimelech, Naomi's husband. He took his family to Moab. Now, what went on there? He lost his livelihood because of the famine, and so he left God's people. Naomi, too, she lost a husband and two sons, and she turned in bitterness against God. And I don't want to diminish how painful those situations can be. Those are heart-wrenching problems, and they're certainly not only ancient problems, but they are problems that have gone on throughout the whole course of human history. And there may even be some people that you know who suffer from these problems today. Loss of livelihood and loss of family. But it is best to consider before the fact whether or not we will be spiritually okay if such things are removed from us. Praying for bread makes us consider the one who gives and that he is the same as the one who takes away. Naked we come into the world and naked we will leave it. No matter what you have or who you are, eventually all your material goods will be stripped away. They will all be lost. And at the end of it all, we must be able to confess, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Beloved, to pray for our daily bread is to confess, in very simple terms, the loving relationship God has with his people, as well as the majestic power he shows in providing for them. We must believe that if God is willing to place people in power and open the storehouses of heaven, promise abundance of food in his covenant, and reveal himself in his Son who miraculously fed thousands of people, if we believe that, then we must believe that God will care for us today and tomorrow and every day. We have every reason then to approach God with gratitude, taking the opportunity to thank him for the material gifts he gives to us. His people are called to trust him, knowing that each day has enough worries and enough provision for itself. Each new day will reveal what God has provided and what he has called us to do. And we can be content that though we may lose much, God never ceases to watch over us. Amen.